Introduce yourselves and tell us what you play in the band.
My name's Glenn. I play guitar and I do a little bit of singing.
My name's Rob. I play bass and sing.
And I'm Scott and I play the drums. I sing some songs as well.
Yes. How did you guys get into punk rock?
Wow. I think I was introduced to that in high school through Rob's older brother, Tim. And an old band called Sons of Ishmael. He suckered me into that. I was a metalhead, and he was getting all the mail order punk stuff and turned me on to that. And I thought, wow, I can play this. It was a good start, and it started out being a bit of a lark, but soon became like pretty much all
what was
I
that?
Do.
Became Ditch Dog 25 years ago,
or more, still or lark. More. Yeah, it's been almost three decades. God help us all.
Yeah. My answer is somewhat similar to Glenn, except I didn't play in a band with my brother, but he got me into the punk rock.
Yeah. And I guess I got introduced to it through my uncle. He's punk from way back.
Drunkle Vic.
Yeah, he played in a few punk bands in the Hamilton, Burlington area. So,
do you know who?
What bands he was in?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, started off he was in I guess the Plague and Unemployed Youth, and then AKS, and he played for Columbia Necktie as well.
Wow.
So I got into that, and then. Started playing in a band called BSL, which then became Phylocracy.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
When there was some crossover there. We did a show together in a band called An Organized Mess.
Yep, yeah. And Glenn was in Sons of Ishmael with Robbie's brother Tim. And yeah.
And played bass with BSL with you for
played,
a while.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So cross-pollination.
Yeah, yeah.
So, That was actually my next question was, were you in previous bands? And then how did that influence how Brown Belt came together?
Oh, definitely. Much, yeah.
We had each other's numbers.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah. How long has Brown Belt been together, though? You haven't been together that long, have you?
Well, we've been playing together for just over a year now, I guess.
Yeah, it started out being not too serious, really. No. It was just something to do. We all lived in the same town. Like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
Let's do something. Yeah. But been developing more into something we want to take out and start playing again, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea was initially just to jam and just to keep together?
Yeah, just to see. Months.
Like Scotty was the catalyst. He'd been hanging with Rob and he kept phoning, we got to get a band. We got to get a band, man. We got to get a band going. I just kept thinking it was a way for him to get drinks off me, but actually we put it together and it worked out really good. It was fun. It clicked. I mean, Rob is great to play with. It feels like I played with him for years.
He loves that.
Well, he's played with both of my brothers.
Yeah, I played with all three Freeborn brothers now. Run through that family.
Who's next?
But he had no sisters.
Stay away from my... Oh, yeah, I don't have any sisters.
Marjorie.
Yeah. Let's not bring our mothers into
Hope your mom's listening.
Cut that. Edit that.
So, did you start off by doing covers?
Pretty much, that was a way to start, just because, Rob had a bunch of tunes that he had been writing on his own when he was hiding out. Mm-hmm. And he was back when he used to be Unabomber.
Yeah.
And, Scotty and I just knew loads of covers from years of playing, so that's how it started. That's the easiest way to start, sit down and play a few covers and add a couple originals, and we kept adding and adding until we've got the covers are now just for fun. We enjoy playing them still. I mean, it's like an homage to the people that influenced us.
Right. Yeah. Where did the name Brown Belt come from?
Yeah.
Seems like...
we had several names. We had to finally settle.
Everything that we'd come up with had been some sort of juvenile, usually...
We were going to be Pillow Fight for a while.
Yeah. And then Vic Tanny and the Sweatband.
Yeah, and Blood on the Popcorn.
Yeah, that was one.
Yeah, but I had
Small Package.
Small Package also came up,
yeah,
yes.
Small Package. Which is good because we could have used that one. I mean, it's got all kinds of different stuff. It's got some wrestling stuff involved, and, you know, we could have brought that back.
Yeah. And wrestling Brown Belt, and punk just for some reason, you know.
Is Brown Belt a karate term? Like, is that where you take the name from?
I don't
from,
think
or?
It's... I'm not sure exactly what kind of term you'd...
I think it's more of a...
Is there a significance to the name?
It has connotations I was not aware of until recently, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what are
they, it's what the kids say when the first time you've had anal sex, you say, I got my brown belt.
Oh, okay.
You've achieved your brown belt.
I didn't know it.
Neither did I, actually, until several months later we've been calling ourselves that, so I'm wondering why everybody's laughing. I just thought it sounds pretty funny, yeah?
His teenage kids laughed at it.
Yeah. So, once we found out the term, we figured now we're going to spell brown belt, and the O will have to be an asterisk. It'll be great.
And we now that we're actually taking it out of Glenn's basement, it's stuck now. Brown belt has stuck.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Stuck in the brown belt.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the songs that you cover? We just started talking about the covering songs.
We do Reagan Youth. I Will Refuse by Palehead.
Yeah, we do.
That was just a wonderful melding of the industrial and the punk genres together way back in the Wax Trax early days.
Oh, so yes.
I've always loved the song. It's simple, it's powerful, so we throw that in. And we do Degeneration by Reagan Youth because it's a classic.
Yeah, of course.
Several Kiss songs because we friggin' love them.
Those
are great.
Yeah.
We'll throw out some Kiss. We start playing, we'll probably whip a Kiss tune out at every show, just here and there. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, we got enough to really, really scatter them around.
Dead Boys.
The Dead Boys stuff, great. So that New York hardcore sound was really influential. The Dicks.
Dicks Hate the Police.
Yeah, Hate the Police, a classic song, and it holds up great. Oh, what else? Teenage Head, Disgusting, because that's something we all puke to as children.
Yes, definitely.
Brings back some great memories. And Teenage Head still rock. What a great band.
Yeah, awesome.
God, what else we got?
I think that's about it.
They've been diminishing. We keep thinking about throwing new stuff in every once in a while. Yeah. But then we realized, no, man, no more covers. Let's write some more songs to throw in there. We'll pick up covers later when we've got too many songs, period, and we just want to do it for fun.
Yeah.
Why
for every couple of new originals, we can throw in a new cover.
Treat it like a way to treat yourself or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they are fun to play, you know, matter how many songs you write yourself, there's always something fun about playing a song you've always loved, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And it's just fun to do.
Okay. Who would you say you're influenced by?
I would say bands like The Damned, myself, The Clash, I don't know.
Dead Boys for sure.
The Dead Boys for sure, definitely, yeah. Electric Frankenstein, stuff like that.
Yeah. Personally, my stuff, I like all the old SST bands, like Black Flag and the Minutemen.
Husker Du.
Like that too, the Minutemen, definitely.
Yeah.
No Means No, huge influence.
Oh,
but
definitely.
Whether we don't really sound like them, it's just stuff we listen to. And then Turbo all
Negro.
Genres of music, still love some of that metal stuff, still love classic Sabbath.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of that.
Motorhead.
Yeah.
What have people said you sound like? Have you got any feedback from anybody yet?
We haven't really played for anybody yet.
It's been pretty limited. We've sent a few people over to listen to us while we jam out, and we haven't really got that serious about getting out until this year. We said, let's friggin' do something. Yeah. Well, first of all, it was a challenge to make sure we could all stay sober long enough to make it happen. You know, you don't want to put all that effort into it and then crap out at the first show. So I think we've been careful enough that we can play it even if we are drunk, so it's good to go.
Yeah. Okay. There'll be no spittle incidents or anything.
Well, there's only three guys, so it's hard to have two guys fighting and the other guy standing. It'll be one guy left out, so it's going to have to be 2-on-1. You can't do easies.
No.
Yeah, the fights will be a lot shorter anyway.
Okay. If you had to limit your music collection to 5 punk releases, what would they be?
5 punk releases?
Make sure you get 5.
Okay. Anything from Victim's Family. As one of them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So they were so innovative. What a great band. And I got a bit No Means No from the Canadian. Just fantastic innovators, too. Mm. 3 left. Honestly, once again, maybe Damaged by Black Flag. Mm-hmm. A classic album. I mean, Henry was on board. It was such a change in the sound from Keith Morris. And then that was one of the first things I heard was stuff like Depression. And Damage too, and all that. And I said, holy crap, that is just evil, sinister. I love that stuff. So, Black Flag, Damage, definitely. How many we got? 3, 2 left?
Yeah.
Bugger me, huh?
We can come back if you want.
Yeah. Let me think about those.
Anybody
boy, only 5 sent me.
I'm gonna say Damaged for sure is one of them. Double Nickels on the Dime by the Minutemen.
Oh, yeah.
Apocalypse Dudes by Turbo Negro. Wow, that's tough. I like Skin Tight by the Donnas. I like that album. The fifth one, it's just... I don't know.
You got me on that one.
You don't want to pick any? It's not supposed to be a tough question. It's supposed to be something that you rattle off, you know?
Off the top of your head.
Stuff that you love.
Oh.
What do you love?
I can't think about it right now, but there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's... there's an SST compilation too.
Blasting
Concept.
Yeah. Volumes 1 and 2.
Young, Loud, and Snotty, Dead Boys.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
a good
great record.
have the meat in your mouth. Ah, classic love song. Used to play that for a while too, but we went over good at backyard parties. Barbecues with the friends and family.
Yeah. Did you want to add any to your picks?
Oh, man. Well, it's almost generic, but I mean, COC's Animosity, I thought was an amazing metal crossover at the time. And I really liked that a lot, so I'd have to throw that in there. And, gosh. Wow.
Is This My World by Jerry's Kids? That's always on my...
Phenomenal record.
That's a good one, too. I mean, Husker Du had so many good things. Metal Circus, definitely. Yeah, I'd have to see Metal Circus. That was great. Five. Ding, I'm done.
Yeah, Scott?
You want to take? You guys, we've basically covered them all.
Well, most of the stuff you have, you stole off us. I'm just kidding. Most stuff I got, you left at my place. Yeah. I think they're yours, Rob.
Do you want to? No? Yeah, okay. Is there... you guys all take turns writing the song, or at least singing songs. Do you all write your own songs, or?
Collect. Well, yeah, Rob does a lot as well.
So far, what's happened is that for most of the originals, I've written them. But then when you bring them to the band setting, it always changes so that everybody puts a. It sounds like a generic answer, but it's...
We've done it that way, but also Sukin was... We jammed that riff out our first practice, and we went away and wrote lyrics to it.
You wrote the music for that.
Yeah, we just did the riff quick. Like, a lot of songs come about. We plug in, we start playing something. Hey, there's a song.
And it changes, too. I came with one of our songs, Getting After It, was I wrote as like a Ramones style, straight ahead, and then Scott added a... bit of a disjointed beat to it, and it sort of evolved from there, and now it's one of our show-stopping opuses.
It's got the flavor.
The flavor.
It's got the brown belt flavor.
A tale of love, lust, murder, and revenge.
Yeah. So it's a collective. I mean, one of us may come to the table with the bare bones of the song, but by the time it's worked up.
Yeah, I have a hard time finishing anything. I've got a book full of brilliant ideas that I start and then I throw away and just come back to later. And we've been planning to actually, instead of just doing weekly rehearsal, we're saying get together, and our main intent is to sit and write music. Don't worry about rehearsing what we've got. Screw that. Our whole purpose is take what we have and work with it. And we're going to start doing some of those weekend sessions, you know, lock the doors, cover the windows, that kind of thing. Put away all the sharp objects. You push the coffee tables into the corner and we're okay.
Okay.
But yeah.
What are some of the things you write about?
Wow. Well, right now...
Sex,
I mean,
drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff. Yeah. We're not really going towards a politically active bent, although it might happen. I mean, we got some songs tucked away still that are the same old, you know, screaming at the system kind of crap that never changes.
There's a couple of the ones I had been writing kind of about sort of, I guess, getting a little bit older and not being so full of piss and vinegar and I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a bit of resignation involved, and sort of not necessarily giving in, but leading more by living by example, as opposed to
changing the system from the inside.
Yeah, getting people fired up and shouting and preaching. It's more about just sort of living the way that you think is good, and hopefully influencing others or showing other people that there's a different way to do things instead of just following.
You know, and pointing your finger at rank stupidity everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot of finger pointing right
now.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to do.
My most political one is it's an oily world. But again, it's not really, it's like, well, what do? You live in the world that we live in, and you can't rail against the big oil companies and drive a car at the same time because it's hypocritical. So I don't know. There's a lot of
oil seems
we're
to be
speaking out against. We started making our own gasoline.
It's
our personal form of process, and I think we've almost got it refined. I mean, Scotty doesn't go blind when he drinks it now.
You need a book of matches, toothpaste, not tested on animals.
That's right, and the on-code, the dental floss without the wax.
Don't
use the wax crap. It'll screw the whole thing up, and people will be hurt.
That's right.
Okay.
That's all we're going to say about that.
Enough said. We've said too much already.
What is your favorite brown belt song from a lyrical standpoint, and why?
I like Nothing to Say.
I like the list.
Yeah, The List.
I like The List. That's a good one because it's Robbie's perspective. But one of those days when you're sitting there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, what?
Talk into your mic. Yes.
To Mark. Talk into my mic. Yeah.
So, why do you like Nothing to Say, Scott? Let's start with.
I just like the raw energy, you know, and Robbie's vocals, of course. He's, you know, ripping, and Glenn's lead in that song is just pretty amazing.
So you like it from a musical standpoint as opposed to a lyrical standpoint?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's just got, you know, the rock.
Is there one that you like from a lyrical
standpoint? The rock hard thing. Love Song.
Do our songs have words?
Love Song for a Lesbian. That's a good tune.
Yeah. We were talking about Suki and Lee earlier.
Yes.
And I went through a phase where I had a bit of a crush on Suki and Lee.
Okay.
Then I found out that she was a lesbian. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But
at least
I never had a chance.
Yeah, so that's right.
Sort of lamenting the lost love. The love that could never be.
She came and saw Spittle.
And she came and saw Corpus.
She
plugged her ears and kept mouthing, too loud, all through Spittle. I'm glad she left town.
And Glenn, you said you liked The List?
Yeah.
What's the song
about?
It's
one of those songs about just getting bitter and pissed off while you're drinking and writing down stuff about everybody you hate. Cathartic kind of thing.
Okay. Have you guys done any recording yet or anything like that?
This is it.
Yeah. Do you plan to do?
Yeah.
Sorry. Go.
Yep.
Oh yeah. No, I was gonna say we've done stuff in Glenn's basement, like just sort of through his PC, but nothing.
Yeah, nothing engineered. Single mic, just to capture ideas and remember stuff that we were trying to write at the time.
Yeah.
But we, Scotty and I were visiting with a fellow in Orillia that we're gonna work with.
Steve.
This guy Steve's got a nice studio. It's out in the country, and we're talking about just going in for a Friday, Saturday, and doing what we do.
Yep.
And coming out of a small demo for the hell of it.
Yep.
Yeah. We need to get something out there.
Yep.
That's good.
Lock us in for the weekend, bottle of tequila, a lot of ideas.
And a bag of ding-dongs and ho-hos.
Yeah, we'll get
her. We go.
We'll get her done.
We're on the Twizzlers.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Do you know when that might be?
Probably before we do our September gig. So I'm hoping we can do something within the next 2 to 3 weeks. If it's up to the timing of the rest of us, really. And we've got enough stuff to lay down now. We've got a few more songs that are almost done.
We don't need any more practice.
We don't need any less.
Yeah,
either, but...
we're just perfect.
Well, we're just exactly
perfect.
The razor's edge has been honed.
Yeah,
watch your fingers, man.
We'll definitely have something ready for when we open up for the Casualties in September.
Okay, is that the only show you have coming up right now?
At the moment.
When is that show?
Sunday, September 3rd. At the Foundation in Barrie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know where the Foundation is, where?
The Foundation is, I don't know the exact address. It's on Dunlop Street.
Yeah. Downtown Barrie, Ontario.
Right downtown Barrie.
Follow the sounds of fists smacking guys.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
It used to be a country bar.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're definitely looking to do some other gigs. Of course, we saw you at the Sudden Impact show, and it was great to see them again. And obviously, it would be wonderful to go out and support them if they do any more stuff. As we knew them from way back as well. That's just good to know that there's guys out there your own age still doing this crap. Every once in a while you feel like you can't be relevant, and then you realize, you know what, that's the wrong attitude. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with your attitude and what you have to say.
Yeah.
If Sudden Impact can do it, we can do it.
Damn straight. Yeah. We're better looking.
How can people get in touch with the band?
We have an email address. It's brownbelt3@yahoo.ca.
Now, is that 3 the number or 3 spelled as in 3?
3 the number.
3 the number.
Yes. There's actually...
There's at least brown belt 1 and 2 out there.
Yeah. We don't know who these people are, but we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Oh, no pun intended.
Any last comments?
Thanks very much for having us.
Yes,
it's been great. It was great running into you at the Sudden Impact show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was awesome.
And hopefully it won't be another 10 or 15 years until
before we see each other
again.
That's right.
Absolutely. We're hoping to hang around for a while. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Steve. We appreciate it. And
thank Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fred, for coming out.
Definitely.
And that's all. Just, you know, peace, love, brown belt. If take a look at the flyers. If we get any shows booked, we'll be letting the guys know here to promote on air.
Absolutely.
And if you have any shows that you'd like the brown belt to come out to, we'll be there. Our rider's pretty cool. We do take the red M&Ms.
Okay. It's good to know. Yeah. David Lee Roth will be happy.
Yeah, he is happy. He is happy.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steven.
Oh.